Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to the Thursday edition of SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. A little bit later, from 6.05 to 7, I'll be down at Damon's with Roger Corey. Be joined by Jack Ham tonight, Lauren Crispell, as we'll preview the Penn State football season, even a little quick sit-down with Bill O'Brien. All that tonight, then Bill O'Brien will be on the show all the way through, starting next week. But they're practicing tonight at 5, thus it made it impossible for him to be there. And today on our show, we're going to shift gears from Penn State football, which we talked a lot about, to Bucknell football. The Bison will open the season September 7th. Joe Susan getting his team ready for the upcoming season. We'll get an update on how Bucknell is doing in preseason practice with Joe Susan, the head coach at Bucknell. They play opening week September 7th, then have a bye week the 14th. But then for the 21st time, play straight through into Thanksgiving. So we're looking forward to that very much and talking with Joe Susan at 3:35 to get a complete update on how Bucknell is doing. And, of course, high school football teams open a week from tomorrow night. You are already excited.
I've been excited for the last 3 weeks. Yeah, this will be the final tune-up. Varsities will see a lot of action here. This is like... This week, with scrimmages on Friday and Saturday, is almost exactly like week three of the NFL preseason, where the starters get an awful lot of playing time, and you try and get everything ironed out for the first week.
You're already ready.
Of course. I've been ready. I mean, I've got all my charts ready. I've got all my analysis ready. That's the best part. See, you know, you always talk about the fact that you get to do what you love every day. I get to sit here, chat with you Monday through Friday. Friday night, go to a high school football game. Saturday, go to a college game. And Sunday, watch football all day.
It's good life.
It doesn't get any better than this. It really doesn't.
It's a good life. A life perfected by Dan Patrick, who's up next with Above the Noise.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer, 4-liter XLT, new rotors and brake lining, just $10,995. 2011 Ford Fiesta, 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2009 Honda Accord, 4-door LX, just $13,998. 2006 Pontiac Solstice, 2-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,520. 2011 Hyundai Sonata, 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,887. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey, 5-door EXL, $22,775. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome, great to have you with us. We roll through on this Thursday together. An article in USA Today that has always bothered me, and I want to talk about it for just a bit. And I want to take off the table local broadcasts for a moment, okay? I'm going to take that off the table, all right? But they're talking about with the availability now of more national cable outlets, more high school games being broadcast nationally.
And I frankly don't like that at all, and I never have. I've never liked it. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's always bothered me. To me, it's local is, you know, high school should be as much backyard as possible. When you get to college, then maybe it's a different ball game. But that's just me. Obviously, cable TV is looking for as much programming as possible. And that's what this is about. This is about programming.
You're talking about the new channel that a lot of...
Any channel. ESPN already does it.
Well,
and I don't like the fact that ESPN does it.
There's the channel in Pennsylvania got affiliated with something similar to that, and it actually will create a blackout for, you know, like the local cable systems that want to do a game. If that's their game of the week or the game that they're doing on this, I don't know, high school network, I'm not exactly sure how to describe it, then that's the only place that would be able to do it on television.
I don't care about that.
Well, but I do. I mean, I don't think anybody should be blacked out from doing a high school football game.
I understand what you're saying. I'm saying it just shouldn't be done, period.
What's the money aspect to a local high school to have their game broadcast nationwide? Are there lots of bucks here in this thing?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think there's much of anything going on when it comes to this part of it. I mean, I don't think there's anything that goes with it.
I mean, that is really cheap entertainment then, and you can, these networks can make a bucket of money with the allure of a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds getting their day in the moment in the sun.
Yeah, but Bob, I think it's all wrong.
I agree with you.
Let me quote something from the article here. This is the part that stuck hard to me that I just flat out didn't like, because this is the part to me that is becoming the part of sports that is becoming all wrong to me. Let's see. Let me get the exact, that way I have the exact quote in here. Let's see.
Well, while you're looking that up, the one thing...
I've got it in front of me. I've had it in front of me the whole time. Just give me a second here. Okay? Let's see. It says here, the whole landscape of high school football has changed because of television, Manatee coach Joe Kinnon said. Manatee has played games on ESPN networks two of the last three seasons. It's great notoriety for the kids, yeah, and your program, true. It certainly doesn't hurt your kids. Marketability as far as recruiting. I'm sorry, but no high school kid should be marketed. High school kids shouldn't have marketability.
But what are they referring to? Are they referring to their college marketability?
No, sure. They're talking about recruiting. Okay?
Yeah. Some kid who is in Pennsylvania, say, Shikalimi, all of a sudden thinks he's going to Southern Cal because he was on national TV and something like that. It just inflates a whole bunch of things that shouldn't be inflated.
Man, I'm sorry, but high school kids shouldn't have marketability. Okay? They want to be recruited. There's enough of the recruiting process to begin with. And once you get to college, I do not blame any coach for trying to protect freshman players in the transition. You're still 18 years old or 19 years old at that particular stage. And I also do not believe at all in traveling all over creation to play high school games. I just don't believe in it.
Wasn't it a couple years ago on ESPN they broadcast like a Texas versus Florida high school showdown. I think I remember
like an
that.
It's like an all-star game. I don't mind if an all-star game is
this
done.
This was a high school game early in the season, and I have a friend in the Dallas area who children attend a 6A is the high school grade for that high school in Florida. And his high school was playing on ESPN in Florida, of all places, against, you know, some Miami area powerhouse. And, you know, just the travel cost, et cetera, of that, it just seems to me like somebody's making a fair amount of money off a bunch of 16, 17, and 18-year-olds.
Well, yeah, and it sticks with me. It just sticks with me, and I just don't like it at all. I mean, we've got to somehow transition back that these are not stars. Okay? You know, you still in your life have not, you know. A high school kid should not have marketability.
But simple as that. But I don't think it's wrong if the local TV station, cable network, PCN wants to run something statewide.
I already prefaced my statement with that.
No, okay? I understand.
I already prefaced it by saying anything local is great. Okay, local radio, local TV, local cable outlet, PCN, game of the week. Zero wrong with that. I have a real problem with it when it's being done on a national level.
Well, my point is I can understand why somebody in the state of Pennsylvania would be interested in Aliquippa, for instance, especially even in the East, because they're usually a team that's in the state playoffs. So, yeah, I'd be interested in watching Aliquippa. But what I don't understand is why anyone in Missouri would be interested in Texas and a team from Florida playing on national television. That's what I don't understand. Where's the market? Where's the market for it outside of their own areas?
Yeah, but this is not about marketing, Kevin. It's not about marketing at all. It's about I have 24 hours. How do I fill it?
It used to be
that I filled it with Australian rules football. I filled it with I'm not kidding you.
I know. I used to watch it. That's why I was laughing.
You need programming, okay?
Yes, you've got to fill those hours.
All right. And I don't have a problem with the Little League World Series at all because I think ESPN does it right. They just do the games, they talk glowingly about the kids. They talk glowingly about the managers, and they talk glowingly about the experience. I think ESPN hits exactly the right chord when it comes to the Little League World Series. I think over-glorifying high school players in this meat market called recruiting, I don't like it. You know, it bothers me. I've never watched a high school game on national TV, there's something about this I remember when LeBron James played. They traveled all over the country playing games. All right. To me, Shikellamy should be playing Danville. Shikellamy should not be playing, for example, Frederick, Maryland.
No, I agree with you there.
I'm just saying. That's what's happening here with some of these teams, that they're traveling out of state to play games in some of these made-for-TV matchups. It's high school.
I do know some high schools that have had, like, for instance, in the northern tier, like even the Williamsport area north, where they've had to schedule a game or two with a team in New York. But that's not really outside their area.
Right. No. I grew up in a border town. Enfield, Connecticut is exactly on the Massachusetts border. So we had to cross over into Massachusetts to play some games because they were within 20 miles of our school.
Right. It's not like they're going to Ohio.
Right. Border towns are different. They didn't take Enfield High School and suddenly Enfield's playing Akron. Or Massillon.
Although in this area, we used to have, when Berwick was in its heyday under George Curry, I remember going up to Bulldog Stadium or Crispin Field, I guess it is, and watching St. Ignatius, Ohio come in.
But you know what, Bob? That was a USA Today made game.
Yes,
if you remember,
it was.
Yeah. That was because of the year, I think it was the year before, they were both 1-2 in the USA Today poll, which is another thing I don't like. I hate high school polls nationally. Yeah. That is useless.
So do I.
And
so do I.
Steve, don't you think that national spotlight changes the whole game strategy, a coach wanting to showcase somebody to get him a scholarship as opposed to sticking with the normal game plan?
Oh, I think it changes everything for everybody across the board. It changes the intimate feel of the game. It changes everything. You know, suddenly you feel like you're a pro. You're a high school player. You're a high school coach. You're not a pro.
You're 17.
You know, I mean, it's I don't like it. And I thought when ESPN started doing it, I didn't like it. I don't know.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you on board here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. In a few moments, we'll be joined by the head coach of Bucknell, Joe Susan, to talk about how their camp is going. First game is September 7th. So they actually have 2 weeks to go before their opener takes place. Then there's an off week after that. So that'll be an interesting schedule for them. And we'll be talking to Joe about how his camp has progressed and get you up to date with all of that and much more. And I believe we have Joe with us now. Do we? Well, Bob, it's still just you and me.
I know.
I'm sorry.
There
Coach
he is.
Susan and I were having a chat there.
Oh, good. Those pink slip talks take a little while. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk with you about football and about how Bucknell is doing at this particular time. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be here, and a welcome break during preseason.
Good. Let's talk about your preseason to this point. Do you feel that you've started to lay a proper foundation for what will be an interesting 2013 season?
I certainly do. We were fortunate that our kids understood how important the summer was, and they came back as a team in very good shape, which is really enables you to cater your preseason more towards preparation than towards conditioning. Obviously, you want to get them into game shape, but you don't have to spend a lot of time getting them into aerobic or anaerobic shape. Actually, it's more anaerobic shape, and they came back strong. We came back fairly healthy, which is good. And I've told them that after day one, no team in America is 100% healthy, and it just works that way. It's just you got to try to minimize the bumps and bruises, but in a collision game, you're going to have those. And, you know, the good thing is that we've developed some depth that enable us to have some flexibility at a variety of positions. And if somebody goes down, we're not in a position where we're looking around. We're in a position where we have depth that is quality depth and put the next guy on the field.
I want to ask you about that depth part. How has that translated into far more competitive practices because of depth?
You know, it's something I tell the kids every day. If you like where you are on the depth chart, do what it takes to stay there. If you don't, change it. And there have been periods in my career and when we got here where there wasn't any competition for positions, and it made the guys that were starters, and it's the nature of the human animal that you can run towards complacency, and now if somebody's breathing down your neck, you better be right. And it really helps us in that we're in a position in a variety of position groups where we can play multiple people. It helps us because our offensive attack has multiple personnel groups. On our defensive front, we like to play as many kids as we can to keep them fresh. And then it enables you to counter an offensive team in the secondary with combinations of nickel, dime, and you know, there's more kids that we feel very comfortable about putting on the field and really being able to play the game in an effective manner. And it keeps a lot more kids happy in that they – and I'm not into keeping them happy, all right? I'm going to prepare them to win, but they've done a very good job. And, you know, we've had our preseason injuries. It's the nature of the beast. And the younger guys have really come on.
Joe, one of the items that you talked to with Kevin, you've talked to with me, is that one of the keys for your program happen to be birthdays, getting older. Has that now started to make a difference for you?
It certainly has, especially in the offensive line. When we first got here, the offensive line was built for a double slot option team, so they didn't have a great deal of size in the offensive line. And the group that we have on the field will have – it's actually one true freshman, and when you see him, you'll understand why. And juniors across the board, one sophomore at the right tackle. So we'll have a freshman at the left tackle, a sophomore at the right tackle, but those birthdays have really – other than the left tackle, those kids have played a lot of football here. And I think that in an offensive line particularly, the concept of playing together really helps. Obviously, Brandon Wesley comes back for his fourth year. He had a great spring. He carried it into preseason and has done a great job. And his backup, Trey Loletta, has really had a very good preseason. And we have a youngster on the team named R.J. Nitty who has a cannon. And sometimes he lines up under the guard, which is the nature of any freshman quarterback. We just slide him over a little bit and say it might be opportunistic for you to line up under the center. But it's a live group of kids with a lot of experience on the field. And then the young men we brought in as freshmen really going to add to this program, and you'll see them on the field on Saturdays.
Give me an idea. We know what Penn State's situation is and how Bill O'Brien has handled hitting. A lot of pass thuds and so forth, a lot of stuff above the waist. But you're seeing more and more teams nationally actually do that, and you're seeing more and more NFL teams actually taper down in the amount of hitting. How much hitting do you like to do in the preseason, Joe?
Yeah, we model our preseason off the NFL model. I was fortunate to spend some time talking to Greg Schiano about it at the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they don't have any doubles, nor do we. And we're smart about when we have our live periods, and a lot of what we do is above the waist. I think that helps us. And the kids have gotten better with it our first year here when we went thud. There would wind up being 21 guys on the ground. And the more you can keep kids playing on their feet, number one, it's a reflection of their athleticism. Number two, they understand that you have to limit the amount of full contact. We had a major scrimmage this morning, and we go into the mindset now of going back. Tomorrow will be primarily a thud day. Saturday will be what we call a tag day. We go out in spiders and more just running. Then we have a decision to make on Sunday because we did have a couple of minor injuries today where whether or not we do any scrimmaging at all, we have a scrimmage set for Sunday. But a lot of it is just going through the pregame operation so the kids get used to it. And we're going to spend some time as a staff to decide whether or not we actually do scrimmage, and if we do, how much we do. But you've got to have a team on the field on Sundays, and I think the philosophy overall in the game has changed. That if you feel comfortable about your team's ability to block and tackle, and I think one of the things where you saw, I know the Eagles – didn't tackle at all in preseason. Then they played the Patriots, and they couldn't tackle anybody. And, that's an extreme, and I know Chip very well, and I'm sure that he'll get them tackling, believe me. But it's a fine line. It really is. The preparation that these kids put into it over the summer, they're more prepared for preseason. And, they have those cumulative reps in the spring. But we're still going to spend time blocking and tackling. It's just you want them there on Saturdays so that the right guys are on the field.
I want to ask this question about the tackling part of it because, I mean, I've obviously seen a lot of thuds in my lifetime. One thing I've always felt about thud, because they're on their feet, it actually does teach them, at least to me, the fundamentals of proper tackling instead of just throwing themselves as a projectile at somebody. Am I close to the mark on that?
We always talk to them about football is playing in a come-to-balance position, which a thud tackle, a good thud tackle, is that, or running to get into a come-to-balance situation. And I think that if they can master that, and when we go thud, Bucknell versus Bucknell, it's always butt wrap and then release the ball carrier so he has to finish and we maintain pursuit angles. It has really helped us be better there, and some of it's the improvement of the athletic ability of young men we've recruited. And the other thing, too, is if you're out of control, number one, you're going to miss tackles, and number two, you're going to have a tendency to put your head down or put your arm out, and you risk, you know, obviously with a head injury, you risk a terrible injury, but shoulder injuries are hard to come back from, too. And big thing is get the guy on the ground, but you know, I think our kids really understand the importance of that. And there's a new rule in the NCAA at this level. The targeting rule is something that is a little bit different than in the FBS level, in that in the FCS level, if someone's judged as targeting, he's ejected from the game. In the first half, it's for the rest of the game. In the second half, it's for the rest of the game. In the first half of the next game. And then the difference in the FCS is they have the ability to go right to replay and decide whether or not it was a target. The FBS, the bowl guys, Division One and Division One Double A. You know, that's the easiest way for me to say that. And
it's me too, same way.
At our level, they don't have the advantage of replay. And the other thing is that if you're in a lot of the – we showed our kids the film of things that would be deemed as targeting. If you look at most of those hits, none of them are wraps. Nobody's wrapping them up. They're right. Launching themselves into an opponent, and it becomes a potential of injury for both the opponent and the tackler. And I think it's a smart rule. I just it's going to be interesting to see how it's enforced at this level and the 1AA level.
Joe, you're at the interesting part of camp because this is the midway point of your camp. You open September 7th. This is also the time where you probably feel that the running on the field right now feels like they're doing it to the theme of Chariots of Fire. And then, you know, so what about rebuilding so that you get your legs back in time for your opener so you have some snap?
There is a physiological progression that we pay a lot of attention to. And we because of the level of conditioning we've had, our kids, I really feel I've been smart with our conditioning. We'll taper off our conditioning. Our periods will go where our normal individual periods are a specific time. I'll start to change those, pare those down. We'll do more teach work within practice, and then we'll be smart about when we go in full pads so that – and I've coached on teams, and I've been on teams where I've played where your legs are dead in that first game, and you're hoping your opponent's legs are dead. And it's not a good feeling when they're faster than you are and you make them slower because our legs are dead. I'll just let you know that in – you talk about accumulation. This is my 45th preseason playing and coaching. So I don't know what I would be doing if I wasn't doing this. I don't think I've done anything else but this because I'm 19 years old, going on 20, and want to keep it that way.
Well, that in your profession, I could say the same thing in my profession. I've never done anything else, and I feel like I'm 19 going on 20 as well.
Keep it that way.
One final note, when you get to this point, leadership shows itself. How do you feel about your team's leadership? Because as a coach, obviously it can make your life easier when you have it.
We're fortunate in that our captains, our senior captains, Jeff Goyette, Travis Friend, and Derek Palmer, are people that we voted for captains in the spring, and those kids took the leadership role, but they also relied heavily on the seniors around them to help them. And it makes it so much easier to coach a team if you already have leaders in place. And this group, being the first group of kids, the seniors, that have been with us for 4 years, they know what we expect of them, and they work to instill that in the younger kids. And if they are an example for the younger kids to follow, and they're going to be an example one way or the other, if they're a positive example, then it makes our job so much easier, and that we can outright coach them. You know, obviously discipline is critical, but if someone is self-disciplined, it makes it so much simpler to get from point A to point B, where you don't have to it's more a straight line than a crooked line. And, you know, they're kids, too. They're 18. We have a couple 17-year-olds through 23. And sometimes you tell them, don't do something, they don't hear the don't part of it, but they're getting better at that.
Joe, as you know, it's always an absolute pleasure for me to sit down and talk football with you. Thanks a lot for taking a little time out from what's been a busy preseason to spend a few minutes with us.
Thanks, Steve. I know you've trying to avoid Kevin, and I think you've done a great job with that.
You're
and,
not going to be able to, though, very soon. You know
not.
That.
Tell him if he brings his daughter that I have a T-shirt for her. And I know you're not allowed to wear Bucknell T-shirts, but I might send you one as well. What size are you, Steve?
What size XL, are you? Joe.
XL, good.
Joe.
Keep it that
I'd
way.
Be more
Keep
than
it.
Happy to wear one.
No, don't be trending towards the double XL now.
What's your point, Joe?
Actually, Joe,
now I got a couple triples, Kevin.
I've been fortunate, Joe. I've been able to stay 1X for about 20 years. So,
amen. Keep it that way.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate
Thanks,
it, my
Steve.
Friend.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, well, chalk him up as another one that's crushed you. All right, so.
You know what? He is a lot of fun to talk with and talk football
yes,
with.
Is.
And it's just and you know what? He's the type of guy that just loves talking football. You know, we sat there one day right before the Holy Cross game, and he said, "You're coaching youth." I said, "Yeah." So how's that going? I said, "Well, it's not as good as I'd hoped it would be." And he says, "You know what? When we were at Rutgers, we did a bunch of different things. I have a couple ideas for you." He said, "I have a couple of discs that we did for youth coaches. Let me get them to you." You know, that's the sort of thing. You know, that's what's great.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And that helps out tremendously. That helps out tremendously because
there's a couple of drills we did.
Yeah, but he cares enough about youth football and that you're teaching them properly that he wants you to do that. So I think that's great. Buter in the house.
And, you know, the question is this the year the Bison have a big bullseye on their back? Because, as Joe said, this is year four for his group of kids. And, you know, first couple years they're playing all those young kids. Well, now they've got a pretty seasoned team. And I think they're going to be the subject of a lot of attention from a lot of coaches that maybe they didn't have to give them 2 years ago.
Well, good. I just want to see Joe Susan succeed. I want to see him succeed, not just for him, but for his staff, for his kids, because I mean he's somebody that throws his heart and soul into, you know, his profession. He loves the game. You can tell he loves the game. You talk about this being his 45th year in it. You can't put a price on somebody that loves the game that much and is a great teacher.
I think the other part of that is he loves the game, but he loves doing it the right way as a coach. And
that's why I respect him so much.
It's very clear with the kinds of kids he recruits and the kind of school that Bucknell is. We see it in basketball. It takes a special kid to get through 4 years academically, let alone add on football on top of that. And no red shirts over there, I don't really believe. So, you know, I look, this is going to be an exciting year for the Bison, I think.
Yeah. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
See store for restrictions and details.
Bill O'Brien had a chance to talk today with the media. He did not name a quarterback, and frankly, I don't think he's going to. I think we're all going to find out who jogs out for the first snap. How about that?
Well, that's a surprise. Wasn't it last week we thought maybe by this time this week we'd be hearing that? I always thought you might do it at Damon's tonight at 6 o'clock.
Actually, he talked about that earlier this week, that he might do it this week. And I figured the same thing you did, Bob.
Nope.
You know, I was...
I can tell you unequivocally, I've already done the interview with him for tonight.
Well, so it's not there.
I didn't even bother asking him who was going to start because I know what the deal is. I mean, I don't like wasting my time or wasting the audience's time. I mean, I asked him about, you know, some things as a play caller and what he can and can't dial up with the quarterbacks. Okay? I mean, I talked to him about that because I know he's not going to name one. Well, he goes on a teleconference 3 hours after I talk with him, and he tells everybody I have, no announcement on the quarterback. So, but I mean, I was smart enough to know that when I talked to him, so I wasn't going to waste my time.
See, I thought maybe he was going to save it just for you.
That's
for an exclusive Steve Jones. Yeah.
No.
Yes, I thought the same. Tonight at Damon's at 6 o'clock, I thought that, it would be what we're all waiting to hear.
He's not even going to be there.
I know. But they have a scrimmage at 5, so that precludes his attendance.
Well, they're practicing at 5.
Oh, okay.
They're not scrimmaging. Scrimmaging is done for the preseason. That's finito.
Now, by not naming, does that really cause Syracuse a few problems for the opener?
Syracuse has already said flat out, Bob, they're not.
I think Syracuse gives Penn State more problems, really.
Syracuse is not going to name their starting quarterback.
No, what I mean is, does that cause Syracuse problems in terms of trying to figure out how to defend one versus the other?
They're similar in style.
Okay.
In other words, they're not plays. It's not like having an option quarterback versus a pocket quarterback.
I think Syracuse is not announcing a quarterback is tougher on Penn State than it is the other way around.
They'll still beat them.
Mark it down, folks.